want to thank my guest this morning, IDOT District 9 engineer Ben Willis. Ben, how are you this morning, pal? Good?
Yeah, good morning, Tom. I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
I was reading this forecast, and I'm thinking, Ben's going, come on, give us a little break. We need some good weather. I mean, with all the things that you've got planned this summer, you want good weather because you've got schedules to keep. Just how much is on your table right now when it comes to this construction season, Ben?
Yeah, so obviously the weather does impact things, and schedules are important. We're in the middle of Rebuild Illinois for IDOT, and it's a historic amount of road and bridge construction. So to put that in perspective, District 9, which is southern 16 counties, you know, I'm a local guy and grew up here, but our southern counties, it's a record program for this year, over $500 million. By the time that we hit the June letting, we'll have $1 billion in active road contracts.
$1 billion in just the southern 16?
Yep.
Yikes.
So to put that in perspective, adjusted for inflation, that's about five times what we normally have.
So you've got a lot of big new projects, cleaning up, clearing roads. Ben's been around forever here in southern Illinois. You've heard the stories. Well, 57's always under construction. But, yeah, there's always something going on. But there's a lot going on 57, especially at 57 and 24.
Yeah, so 57, you know, when we talked the other day, it's like, where do you start with 57? But I think the main focus is going to be that, you know, we've had construction on 57 for so long. I think everybody's sick of it. And it is coming to an end. We've got about 3 years left to finish our corridor program. But what that entails is a six-lane expansion all the way from I-24 to I-64. So we had to do these in multiple contracts. And finally, we're getting to a point where we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I know your listeners are ready for that. But, you know, it's one of the largest expansion projects in the Midwest. I mean, where do you go where you see 50 miles of six-lane expansion?
All right, including now, here's the thing, Ben. I can close my eyes and see it usually from the trauma of being on 24 and coming on 57 and doing that merge, but that also it recognizes the sheer amount of flow. I mean, there are nicknames, including the state police, have a nickname for that stretch of road from 24 to 50, 24 and 57 meet all the way up to Marion, Mount Vernon, and up. I mean,
right.
I've heard some pretty colorful names. It's the sheer amount of traffic after that merge that requires that six lanes.
Yeah, so if you think about it, everything feeds to that stretch of I-57. So you got 24, you have 55, you have 64, you have 70, and then we have this north-south stretch right there that's 50 miles, you know, that's 40 to 50% trucks. So it's a huge shipping corridor, you know, for the Midwest, and it's also, everybody doesn't necessarily expect to deal with those kind of traffic volumes in a rural area. So, you know, you go into St. Louis and you're kind of bearing down, you're ready to go Nashville, Indianapolis, whatever. Rural southern Illinois, you just don't think about that coming up. So sometimes I think everybody just doesn't expect, you know, those kind of traffic volumes.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter when it is. It can be Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, and it's just packed. I mean, coming in there and then the merge. Okay, now, yesterday, Ben and I were talking. And I had a hard time understanding, and I'm hoping I can do a little better today, because he introduced me to a new concept. Because the rule of thumb that I've been hearing from the Department of Transportation, I think for the last two, maybe 3 years, is keep the traffic moving. Don't stop. That's the reason for the roundabouts. But you've got a similar implementation. It's called a zipper merge. Is that correct?
Yeah. So this year, for the first time, we implemented a zipper merge strategy at I-24 over the Ohio River, and so that's a three-year project, leading into Paducah. And because of the amount of interchanges and previous projects, we had a lot of queuing problems. You know, there's a lot of traffic volume down there, especially as Nashville's grown. I think it's made the traffic volume a little bit worse in that stretch. So other states have tried it, and IDOT's tried it in some areas. We implemented a zipper merge, which is a little different technique than what everybody's used to. Around here, we try to be courteous, and we try to get over in the lane as we see the which lane is closed ahead. We jump over in that lane, and that's great in most cases. But when you have a lot of interchanges and you have heavier traffic volumes, that can lead to some additional queuing because everybody gets into one lane sooner than they need to. So you've lost the capacity of that extra lane. So the zipper merge technique that we're using on I-24, basically it doesn't tell you which lane to get into until it's about time to merge. And then, you know, you're relying on some courtesy for everybody to merge like a zipper, so to speak. They call it a dynamic merge.
That requires the drivers to know what the heck they're doing, though, right?
Yeah, the message boards, though, you know, are not alerting the drivers, you know, 2 miles ahead of time to get in the right lane, for example. So the key down there is, you know, everybody is supposed to be staying in their lane, and then as they get close to the taper, it's telling them merge now.
All right. So
that goes contrary to what we all think, but because of the queuing accidents we have, we're always willing to try something. We want to try whatever we can. You know, safety is at the core of IDOT's mission, so we're always looking to improve. So that's a newer concept that we've introduced on that particular project.
All right. Now, if you are driving, we're trying to get this new name started. We want to call it the Saluki Expressway between Marion and Carbondale. I think it's a good name.
Okay.
For the speed. Yeah. So, but, you know, I drive this over it a lot, and I kind of, it's a little mind-boggling for how, because you're between a rock and a wet place on Route 13 in the bridges that cross Crab Orchard. Now, that's a expansion project. It's going to require new bridges, and you just got no elbow room to swing the sledgehammer.
Yes, correct. So that project is coming up. We anticipate work starting there, probably major impact sometime after the 4th of July. What it boils down to is we have to build the fill. We've got great partners with Crab Orchard Refuge, and we were able to secure permitting to go ahead and do the ad lane on the outside lanes. And that requires a lot of rock. It requires us to muck out portions of the lake. We'll place a silt curtain in there. And so it's going to be a lot of water construction. A barge is just not an option because anybody that's fished that lake knows, you know, you can't load down a barge with 10,000 tons of riprap and move it around out there. So we have to close one direction at a time and put all the traffic head-to-head in the other direction.
All right. So one lane for the bridges over Crab Orchard for how long, Ben?
Yeah, so what I would anticipate for this construction season is they're going to start out with doing some widening, both eastbound and westbound, with just nighttime closures. So two lanes open during the day, lane closures at night. Once they get the widening in, all traffic will be in the eastbound lane. So we'll put everybody in the eastbound lanes with a crossover while we build the westbound side. And that includes two bridges westbound, and then we'll reverse that and do the same thing the following year eastbound.
All right. That's going to be for a lot of people, especially early morning. And people go, well, there's a reason why we call it the expressway, Saluki Express, emphasis there. So that's going to be a big one. And here's the doggone thing. There's just not a good way to get around it. I mean, it's a tight squeeze for a reason. It's because there's no other ways around it, really. Well, there are, but it's time consuming, among other things, and the roads aren't really built for heavy traffic. So, I mean, you just kind of really got to bear down and deal with it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be inconvenient. I always use this analogy. If you've ever remodeled a kitchen and your whole family's living there, you know, it's a huge pain. Everybody's in bad mood, inconvenient.
Yeah.
But get done, you know, hopefully it's worth it. And, you know, this is the last contract for the six-lane expansion on 13, and that's for a reason, because it was the toughest one.
Yeah. Well, I talked to the guys that have been working on this for years, and they all said this is going to be tough. I mean, and it's tough on people now because, well, you've seen people traveling east, and they have that lane that comes to an end, and they just don't see it coming, and then people freak out. Boy, the text line is busy. Mark just texted me. He says, oh, he's apparently used the zipper merge, and he says, I noticed several trucks blocking both lanes, limiting the zipper merge to happen. Here's another from Ron. He says, when will they start to replace the bridge at exit 45 on I-57, and how long will that take? Bridge exit 45 on 57, do you know the notes on that one, Ben?
50, what mile marker?
Replace the bridge at exit 45 on I-57.
There is nothing in the works to replace the bridge at exit 45. We are, we do have a project coming up north of Marion on Spirits Road.
Okay.
But we will have some work that impacts that 45 area as part of this six-lane expansion, the weigh scale ramps, obviously the tie-in to I-24.
Another question from John. He says, an improved interchange at West Frankfort. Any plans for the Benton interchange?
Right now, there is a project that's in the works that addresses Benton, and obviously the, you know, the square is impactful there at Benton. But yes, we have work coming up ahead at Benton, but I would defer to our planning and program people because that's a little further out.
And here's a question about the building in Carbondale from Harold. Says, I'm just curious about the renovations on the building in Carbondale. Is it being restored or just a new facade?
So that is a CDB job, and it's essentially keeping all, you know, the building is considered historic, so they can't really do a whole lot. But, yeah, it's taking down some of the marble and refinishing it. And, you know, we have some brick behind everything that has to be structurally analyzed. And so, yeah, we have a lot of stuff going on even here at my office.
How the heck are you going to find all the people to wield the shovels, sledgehammers, and heavy equipment and trucks it's going to take for these big projects? I assume you're waiting in the parking lot at John A. Logan College for people out of the vocational program going, you know, sign up here.
Yeah, so obviously when we've ramped up as much as we have with our funding, and our contractors have done a great job keeping up. But, yeah, it's all about getting our younger folks into the trades. And I think our contracting associations, our local contractors, you know, our unions are working very hard to, you know, get folks into these apprenticeship programs. And, you know, it's a great career, and there's a lot of opportunities for somebody. You know, not everybody wants to go to college. We have great opportunities for our labor force here in Southern Illinois, and Rebuild Illinois has added a ton of opportunities. So,
right. Big deal.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Here's one more. I'm going to try to squeeze this one in with you, Ben. He says, thanks for talking about the first one, which he says, also, I'm going to ask about Route 37 from Wildcat Drive to Route 148 expansion, ?
Yes, that is correct. Right now we've got tree removal that's been completed. The tornado maybe helped out with some of that as well. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of bad weather in that area, and we feel for all the folks that have been displaced, you know, with regard to that.
Right.
But that stretch of 37 from south of Wildcat Drive all the way to 148, the first thing that the public is going to see this year is we're going to build a roundabout at Wildcat Drive. School's out, so they're able to work between June and August. So they will construct that roundabout this year. Meanwhile, further south, we have a lot of utilities that are in the way that are being relocated as we speak. So I would say impact this year would be the roundabout construction will be signalized. So it'll be similar when you come up to a bridge, you know, that's got signal construction. So we'll build half the roundabout at a time, and then that'll finish sometime in August, and then later we'll move south as the utilities are out of the way and start in with, you know, we have resurfacing, new shoulders, earthwork, and the biggie is all those drainage structures need to be replaced. So in order to do that, there's going to be some impact with closures and weekend stuff.
Okay. Ben, you know, there's a lot we haven't talked about. Would you mind coming back in about three, in particular before the Route 13 expansion project, would you mind coming back in or coming on the air with us so we can help people through that funnel a little better?
Yeah, no problem. No, it's a lot to keep up. It's hard for me to keep up, too. So I understand everybody where they go, you know, there's something going on. But our philosophy is we have the funding now and, you know, District 9 has done their part to get that funding down here.
Ben Willis, IDOT District 9 engineer.